Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Andy just said it. You know, the quarterback thing with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sick of hearing about it, folks? Because guess what? It's not going away. It's not going away locally. It's not going away nationally. Why? This has become a national story that you can go to any of the big national websites at least once a week now. Andy, there's not even football going on. Imagine what's going to happen when they get to training camp and this is going on. Every national website, every national show daily is going to have something on the Browns quarterback stuff.
Jeff.
Every time.
Here, I'm going to give you in the last 5 hours.
Okay.
And I'll give some plugs here. Here are the headlines. Newsweek. Browns Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel get bad news in future projection. Cleveland.com, why the Browns are strongly considering keeping all four quarterbacks for as much as the regular season. Yardbarker, Cleveland Browns expected to make unorthodox quarterback decision. You want me to keep going?
CBS.
Sports Illustrated, Shedeur Sanders. Yeah,
go. Building the perfect starter using best skills of each Cleveland option. Which, by the way, we're going to get into for a touch here. Why is this going to be a big national story for some time? I'll tell you why, and here's the reason. You may not understand, you may not realize, if you look around the NFL, and I want your opinions on this, Dano, Andy,
okay,
and anybody at 216-474-0092. In my estimation, the Browns are one of only three teams in the National Football League that actually is auditioning for a starting quarterback. 29 teams have their starting quarterback.
Well, that might be one.
And it's really not debatable. There's one that's iffy. The one that's iffy is the New York Giants. But they've already said that Russell Wilson is their starting quarterback. Jackson Dart is there in their camp. He kind of took number two reps, and Jameis Winston was number three. But they've already, Brian Daboll has declared Russell Wilson is their starter. And I think, yeah, okay, I think he is your starter, and that's not going to change, at least early on. But we'll see how that goes. The two teams other than the Browns that are looking for a starting quarterback right now, the New Orleans Saints. Why? Because Derek Carr retired on them. Derek Carr retired. They kind of figured that they would need a starting quarterback, and they drafted Tyler Shuck, who is one of the guys that, you know, the Browns have been looking at and everything else. And he's competing with Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener. So good luck, New Orleans. You better hope that Tyler Shuck ends up being as good as a lot of people think he's going to be, because without Derek Carr there, they do not have a starting quarterback. Shuck is an older rookie. That'll help, but that's their guy. And the other one, and this is interesting because in theory you have two starting quarterbacks, is in Indianapolis, where Anthony Richardson was a very high draft choice and hasn't proven himself, and he's injured. And Daniel Jones, who was a very high draft choice of the Giants, finished last year sitting in Minnesota watching what Sam Darnold was doing, and then decided not to stick in Minnesota because he saw J.J. McCarthy on the way, and he thought, yeah, they want J.J. I'm going someplace where I have a better chance to compete. So it's going to be Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. And then the Browns. Three teams in the NFL. That's it. Browns, Colts, Saints, looking for a starting quarterback. And may I throw this out as to why the Browns are front and center. What's more interesting? Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, and Jake Haener. Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. Or Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel. Two draft choices, guys who might have been higher draft picks but weren't. Joe Flacco, who was here and lit it up for five games, not six because the playoff game didn't go well. and has a Super Bowl ring, and Kenny Pickett, who comes over from your arch rival after a year hiatus in Philadelphia. This is the most interesting quarterback situation in the NFL, and it's not going away nationally, Andy.
You gave me a new storyline along the way here.
Oh, good.
Could the loser of the Browns veteran battle for starting quarterback end up in New Orleans?
Maybe. Maybe. Let me take it one step a different direction. Well, why are the Giants going to have Jameis Winston sitting there as a third quarterback?
Because they want to have three quarterbacks. Because between the Giants and the Browns, they want to make sure
another one.
They want to make sure they have seven or eight quarterbacks.
Don't they already have Tommy DeVito? He's still there.
Yeah, I think so.
So
I saw him at the pizza place.
James, we've talked about trading one of the Browns quarterbacks. Giants could trade Jameis Winston back to New Orleans, where he was beloved and never really got the chance. And now he has a new head coach.
Maybe. You think that's what New Orleans is waiting for, to see what the Giants do and what we do?
Not necessarily. They're hoping that Shuck becomes their guy. Fingers are crossed on that. That's what they're hoping. You know, they don't want somebody who couldn't make it in Cleveland or couldn't make it with the Giants, two teams that need quarterbacks. However, that might end up being their best option, Andy. Might. That's why this is front and center, without question, all training camp long.
The Browns will trade one of these quarterbacks. I listen to you guys.
Oh, there goes the man who doesn't want to buy into the they can keep four quarterbacks.
Just don't see it.
Yeah, I know you don't. Everybody else seems to.
No.
Maybe you're right.
No, I think a couple beat writers see it, and you two see it. And I don't even think you see it. Jeff, I really don't think you, in your right mind, think the Browns are going to keep three quarterbacks. Four quarterbacks, sorry.
I do.
You think they're going to keep, and actually it's five quarterbacks if you want to count Sean.
Well, they're not getting rid of the rookies, Andy. You drafted those guys to see if you have something.
Kenny or Joe is not going to be here when the season starts. One of those two, or one of those two might be on the IR.
So you say.
Show me anywhere in the history of the NFL where it made sense to keep four quarterbacks.
Here.
On a team that wins. I guess if you're expecting to lose, this is a great formula for losing.
Well, that's not part of the equation to me.
Oh, but Dan, is it not?
Part of the equation.
What is the expectation for this season?
The equation to me is you don't have one. So unless the only way they don't keep four, Andy, the only way they don't keep four is if one of these guys just lays such an egg in training camp and in the preseason and just looks awful, and they get rid of him. And if they look awful, then they should get rid of them.
I'll give you the other way. If they both look halfway decent, one of them will get traded because a team like, and you laid it out, New Orleans could be looking for somebody with a little bit of experience to say hike so that they're not sitting there with a rookie who has no idea what's going on.
To me, the most likely trade scenario is this. Kenny Pickett looks good. One of the rookies looks like he could be the backup quarterback. That makes Joe Flacco extremely expendable. And based solely on Joe's age and track record since he left Baltimore. But for that to happen.
If I'm Kevin Stefanski and I want to hang on to my job, I'm on the table saying, please don't take Joe anywhere.
For that to happen, one of two things have to happen. Two of the three young guys have to look really good. Because if Pickett can't beat out Flacco, well, then he's going to have no trade value. I mean, who's going to give you anything for Kenny Pickett if he can't beat out Flacco? And you're going to keep the two draft choices. I don't see you moving a draft choice. So if Pickett can't beat out Flacco, if I'm New Orleans, am I thinking, oh, good. Let's get him. No. If I'm the DC Commanders or DC Defenders, they're the Defenders, I'm thinking, yeah, let's bring him in. He could be our UFL quarterback of the year next year.
Not to mention, if you're the Saints and your quarterback coach happens to have a son who's playing at LSU this year, he's supposed to be pretty darn good. I mean, if you don't think there's some kind of tie that they're debating looking into there, I don't know what to tell you.
Don't know what to tell you, Andy.
Can we go back to the original? You think that this is a gigantic story because there are no other stories in the NFL when it comes to quarterback competition.
Well, it's not just that.
I'm telling you, Shedeur Sanders is driving 80 to 90%.
That's a big part of this.
Well, that's part of it, Andy. That's why it's going to be front and center. There's no question. But look around the league. How many quarterback battles are there? Three. How many are really interesting?
One.
Maybe two.
One.
Maybe two. The Colts thing is pretty interesting. And why? Two reasons. What was Anthony Richardson? I think a fifth overall pick. Daniel Jones was a sixth overall pick for the Giants, and he was in New York. So what does that mean? It means the national media is going to be following Daniel Jones. They're going to pay attention because he was in the biggest market in the country.
There is no way the Indianapolis story is anywhere near as sexy as the Cleveland story.
I didn't say it
Not even.
I didn't say it was, but if a guy had a cup of coffee
in the Big Apple, they care about you for about 30 seconds.
See, the Browns are working the scrap heap. The Browns are working the scrap heap at quarterback. You have two rookies who were passed over by every team at least twice. You have a guy who talked his way out of Pittsburgh because they brought in two guys. They didn't think he was worth a hoot because they brought in two guys to try and replace him. And then the Browns traded very little to go get him. And then you get Joe Flacco, who was, again, sitting on the couch waiting for a team to call. But in Indianapolis, you have guys who were fifth and sixth overall picks, and one of whom just finished up playing in New York. So there's a lot going on there. There's a lot going on there. But I think this is a lot more interesting, and I think the reason why is mainly Shedeur Sanders.
I find it fascinating that you can get both extremes when we talk about Sanders. How many people, or how many stories have you read where they're like, oh, Sanders could definitely start for the Browns this year. He could be the starter. What was the Mary Kay story today? How Shedeur Sanders would be breaking through walls or something like that to become the starting quarterback, and it's a possibility, and this thing could happen, and blah, blah, blah. And so I'll buy that. And by the way, I don't think that that's that far from reality. I just don't know. I don't know what the goal is. And Dan brought this up yesterday, and it's kind of haunted me. I can't go into a season with the goal let's lose. It is so, I can't believe anybody drives their car down Lou Groza Boulevard and says, what can we do to lose this year?
The guys who work over at the cement place next door might do that.
Oh, I got a buddy that fixes cars over there too. They don't.
The goal of the 2025-26 season is to find out if the quarterback of the future is on the roster, and if it is not, who in the draft you are picking up who will be the quarterback of the future. That's the goal.
I think that's it. That's job one. Job two is win as many football games as possible.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. But boy, you're going to be cycling through these guys to figure out, okay, is Joe Flacco somebody who we could use for 2 years as we bridge something together, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or somebody else in between? Is Kenny Pickett somebody worth handing a four-year contract to and then maybe going from there? Is Dylan Gabriel maybe the answer at quarterback? Are we going to be on a cheap quarterback for a period of time? Is Shedeur Sanders the answer at quarterback? And are we going to be on an even cheaper quarterback contract for a period of time before we have to pay them?
And will these questions become moot when Baskin's right and they only have three quarterbacks to start the season?
It's the reason why I think they're going to walk in with all four, bud. And it's just due to the fact that, like,
they're not walking in with all four. I don't care what
they're going to give them all a shot.
I am going to stand here on the mountain and tell you that they're not walking into the regular season with four quarterbacks. I mean, they could on injured reserve. They could.
All of a sudden, now there are caveats.
Well, Jeff, come on. There's teams every year that have a fourth quarterback that's sitting on the practice squad. That's not what I'm talking about. Four guys that could be active on any given Sunday. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Andy,
and as long as
you might be right,
and as long as they walk out with an answer to that question and a surefire yes, the quarterback of the future is on this roster. No, the quarterback of the future is not on this roster. That's the goal of the season. Is right there. You need a yes or you need a no, and it needs to be definitive.
I think there are four guys until or unless somebody just shows that they're not up to the competition. And they're not good enough to be in the competition. At that point, you can move on. It won't hurt you at all because you still have three. But that also would mean somebody's going to have to step up and, you know, show that they could or should be the backup quarterback.
And guess what? If the rookies don't work out, they were rookies and we only spent a third or a fifth round on a quarterback.
Yeah. Yep. The answer needs to be yes or no. There is no maybe.
If there is a maybe, they're not going to cut anybody. That's the thing. It might take a while before the answer becomes yes or no for the young guys. Maybe even for Kenny Pickett. Albert Breer was on the afternoon show and made some comments that you'll find interesting with that. Also, Browns were 3-14 last year, right?
Remind me again.
They have since impressed executives around the NFL. We'll tell you how coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey, it's Dustin for North.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know the best part of it when you forget to turn on your microphone?
Who said I didn't turn
Which
my microphone?
Which we all do from time to time.
You never do.
Are you kidding?
Dan, does he ever forget to turn his mic on?
All the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the look you get on your face.
Oh, because I'm frustrated?
Oh, my God. And then you always, you don't just slide your hand over to turn it on. You always have this big movement and you like pound the thing out of disgust.
It's like I should have swung at that pitch. Look, is that how I look?
Yeah, kind of is.
It very actually. Much could be described as, shucks.
Kind of is.
So I should have swung at that. Did you really call a third strike when it was out of the zone? I can't believe I just hit the post. Did the ball just go through my fingers? And I never should have shot that. That's an air ball.
Albert Breer was on the afternoon show. And I believe it was Nick and Jonathan the day that he was on. And he was asked about the thing that's not going to go away, and we explained why already, and that's the Browns quarterback situation. And Albert Breer had thoughts on three of the Browns' four quarterbacks. And see, this is where this is going to go all offseason, all training camp, all the way until the Browns make a decision. And then depending on what that decision is, might continue into the regular season. Because if somebody doesn't perform well, and other guys are sitting there, maybe as many as three, story's not going away. His first comments on Shedeur Sanders, who was the Browns' fifth-round pick.
I think, you know, this is going to go to the best quarterback. I think you owe it to the players in that locker room to do it that way. And, you know, I have such a hard time, you know, seeing a team that's in the spot the Browns are in, throwing the season overboard in the name of quarterback development, especially when that quarterback's a fifth-round pick. And, I'd ask you, why aren't you saying the same thing about Dillon Gabriel? You know what I mean? Like, he was drafted higher. So, I think people have this perception that just isn't the reality of who Shedeur is yet. You know, now maybe he could become something more in 3, 4, 5 years. But I don't think what the perception of Shedeur was in February or March is going to weigh much on this at all, because I don't think it's the reality of how the NFL saw it.
And the NFL saw it as a guy, for whatever reason, slipped to the fifth round. So he looked at Dillon Gabriel and he was picked higher.
It's the draft status. I just think it's garbage at this point. I'm not buying it. I don't buy. We've had this conversation probably 15 times. All right. I'm not the Shedeur Sanders being a fifth round selection just doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Because now he has a chance to compete and win the job.
Yeah, but I don't care, because if he does win the job, no one's going to care, or they're just going to be like, remember, he was a fifth-round pick. Nobody wanted him. All the Browns are geniuses. Or, he was just a fifth-round pick. Who expected anything out of him? The league knew what was right. I just, there's more to it with him in particular. I just think there's more to it.
What do you mean more to it?
Teams didn't like, first of all, can we get over the whole, well, he got passed over by all these. Well, how many, you just explained it. How many quarterback battles are there? How many battles are there going into camp? Three?
Three.
Okay. So you got to think that 75% of the league didn't need a quarterback in the first place. So there was no way they were going to take him. So now you've eliminated, you know, 3/4 of the league, if not more. And so now you're putting him into a tiny box that of teams that need quarterbacks and perhaps could start.
Perhaps could start. Teams always need backup quarterbacks and good ones. So the reality is they did pass him over like crazy. The reality also is now he's just competing for a spot. So I understand.
Yeah,
I understand your thought on that, but the reality can't be dismissed, and that's that everybody passed him over numerous times. Albert Breer talked about Dylan Gabriel with the afternoon guys, and as he just pointed out in his thoughts about Shador, what about Gabriel? He was taken two rounds higher.
I think it's because he had a bigger learning curve than Dylan Gabriel. That's the reality of it. You know, I mean, Dylan Gabriel started how many games in college? Dylan Gabriel crushed his pre-draft process. Like, now that doesn't mean there wasn't stuff for him to learn along the way, but I wrote this back in March and April that there were teams that were like sort of stunned by how little Shador knew, you know, relative to what they thought, him being the son of Dion and having played for Pat Shurmur in college, you know, like, so I think Shador, and maybe this isn't any fault of his own, but I think Shador had a lot more ground to cover than Dylan Gabriel did. And so because of that, like, it's harder to put him out there with the first team. You know, again, like, you have to be able to answer to your players in these sorts of things. That's the way I look at it, at least.
It was Albert Breer with the afternoon guys and talking about Shador being behind and everything else. Dylan Gabriel played 5+ years of college football, high level, really great productivity. And at least in the last 3 years, two at Oklahoma, one at Oregon, pretty big-time programs with, you know, big-time offenses.
Even if it's not a big-time school, it's three different, I'm assuming, well, three different offensive coordinators, three different head coaches, right?
Learned a lot of different offenses, learned a lot about how to fit in.
You know, the part that surprises me the most about
Shador? Succeed in different environments.
Like he said, and I've heard other people say that Shador just didn't have this graduate-level offense to have to learn at Colorado. Is that a nice way to put it?
It was not as intense. Yeah, not as deep of an offense. And that's fair. Part of it was because he didn't have an offensive line and he was running for his life.
Oh, that's true. But Pat Shurmur probably wanted to put him in the best position to win. Didn't care.
And without an offensive line or much of a running game, Travis, go deep.
Yeah. Yeah,
or Travis step three yards behind the line of scrimmage, and here it comes.
And if it works, let's go.
Now take off.
Yeah, so I'm because I don't remember hearing Pat, and not that Pat Shurmur would say anything bad or anything about a learning curve coming into the NFL, but you know, I don't remember hearing anything pre-draft from Pat that was kind of like, oh, he's going to have to adjust. I'm sure maybe somewhere he would have said that, but. You know, he's going to have to adjust to the pro game, but he should be ready to go. No one's going to rip a kid that just played for him,
especially with the chance. That's correct.
No matter where he got drafted, there was always the potential for him to be a high draft pick.
Albert Breer mentioned the guy who didn't get a whole lot of reps during mandatory minicamp, Joe Flacco, Andy's uncle.
Are you done?
Wait, what?
That's what I said.
Oh.
This is where you're supposed to play that.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know what you're talking. I heard Andy's uncle. I went, wait, what the hell? Okay.
Just go.
I think all four of those guys are going to be given opportunities, but I think those opportunities are sort of based on merit now, you know, and going forward. I think Joe Flacco has a first-round bye to the quarterback competition in July and August, and the other three guys are sort of battling it out for reps. And my guess would be right now that you'll see the thing split up according to what happened in the spring. And Shador made progress, no question. I mean, did he make enough progress to make himself a factor in the competition? We'll see.
It's Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, on with the afternoon guys. Do you think Flacco got a first-round bye? In other words, you don't have to really do a whole lot at mandatory minicamp because we know what we have, and that's why he was the last guy with reps and everything else.
Miles Garrett sit out? It's the same thing.
Yeah, I do. But I also think that it's really worth noting, once training camp starts, is Joe getting reps? And is he getting a lot of reps? Because though he might know things, you still have to develop camaraderie, chemistry. And just because you played 6 games with this team a year or so ago doesn't mean that that's going to be automatic. You got to develop that again. If he's not getting reps, it means to me that he's not key in the competition. If he is, it means he has every chance to win the job.
Agreed. I wish I could go on some long diatribe and disagree with everything you're saying. I just think you're right.
You just like disagreeing with me?
No, I do. I actually do like disagreeing with you on some things. But this one I can't. If I'm Kevin Stefanski and I'm looking at a depth chart right now, I probably want to start Joe Flacco. I want to feel comfortable going into the season. I want to try to put the extension of the coach on the field. Now, does he have the physical ability to do it? That's the question. And, you know, if Kenny Pickett has more physical ability at this stage in the game, then maybe I'm going with Kenny.
Yeah, he better, although Joe's arm is still very good. ESPN put a story out, and Jeremy Fowler wrote it, and Jeremy, earlier in the week,
was on here, yeah.
Yeah, made some noise. He was on the station and talked about the four quarterbacks. But a piece that he put out the other day, yesterday, was interesting to me. NFL executives, scouts, pick their favorite 2025 offseason moves. And, you know, I saw that and I thought, well, I got to scroll down. You must. So the first thing was Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers. Next thing was George Pickens to the Cowboys. Next thing was Seattle, Geno Smith, basically for Sam Darnold, Jalen Milroe, and cash, as the Raiders ended up with their quarterback of the future. So they kind of, you know, got rid of Geno and went with Sam Darnold there. And the next was the Browns draft haul.
I saw
after
this.
Moving from number 2 to number 5. What do you think of that?
I think it's fair. I think, especially because there was no payout on it yet. It's all on paper.
Well, not completely, because you do have a defensive lineman in the middle of the line who you ended up taking.
Again, hasn't done anything, hasn't played one game yet for the Browns.
Okay, true.
So on paper, yeah, I can agree with all. I agree with that.
Fowler wrote, "This will work out swimmingly." And any time you can use the word swimmingly, I mean, that's good. Swimmingly, if Cleveland Browns GM Andrew Berry plays it right.
Do you have to be eating fish and chips to use that word or no?
No, I don't think I used a British accent when I said it.
Yeah, but swimmingly just...
Swimmingly.
Does it not have a British feel to it?
I know, it's got a snooty feel to it.
Yeah, it's British.
He said, as multiple scouts noted, Browns ended up with their running back of the future, Quinshon Judkins at 36.
Yep.
They can attack a strong 2026 class with two first-round picks, both of which could be early due to Cleveland and Jacksonville's states of transition.
That's the bigger reason.
An AFC exec said, hard to pass on Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter at 2, but you get a good young defensive tackle. And this is an interesting part of this. You get a good young defensive tackle in Mason Graham. That's a position that's really expensive now. So to get a player on his rookie scale there is crucial. We haven't heard that very often, have we? See, that's an NFL exec talking right there, and AFC executive, to be more precise.
And no one's questioned what he's done in camp so far. So everyone's, other than, you know, he had a little reverse peristalsis there early on.
Barfed.
Yeah. People are eating lunch, Jeff.
Barfed.
Why don't you use some medical terms?
And then the AFC exec said, and this is really about, Dan, you ready? 2026. Can they get their quarterback of the future there? They're going to find out. Do they need...
Doesn't that upset you that we're sitting here talking about the quarterback of the future in the next draft?
No.
When they have four quarterbacks here now?
Each one of whom has specific attributes that CBS Sports felt they were so strong they should write an article about it.
Andy, does it upset Cletus when he drives by his trailer and sees 8 cars sitting there and none of them have engines that work? Or is he proud of what he's collected?
I guess it just depends on the state of the cinder block.
I'll get a water pump in that Rambler. It's going to run.
Oh, yeah. We can get 100 yards out of this one.
CBS putting together the perfect quarterback out of the attributes of the four guys who are here. Oh, goodness gracious. You want to go to the junkyard? We're going to next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Cody Benjamin of CBS put this together. Andy, this is going to annoy the bejeebers out of you. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay.
His headline, Browns may keep four quarterbacks in 2025.
And let me guess, they ripped off Mary Kay's story too. Who was it? Who wrote this story?
Cody Benjamin.
Oh, Cody Benjamin. Was he right for?
But then it's, it has a colon, and it's CBS Sports. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
And then it says, building the perfect starter using best skills of each Cleveland option.
Is this a real story, or is this a story where they write the story based on somebody else's story?
This is a real story.
Okay, good. I'm sorry, Cody. I'm not trying to rip you. I just, there's
too late.
It's too hard now when you try to read a story. I can't tell you how many times I get caught by a headline to go read the story to say, so-and-so said, Mary Kay Cabot says this.
Then let me just go click on Mary Kay's story.
Yeah, why wouldn't I just do that?
That's exactly the way to do it. Well done there. So
is it kind of like the
what does Cody
newspaper
do?
Version of sampling? Is that what
it's
that
aggregating.
Is?
It's aggregating. It's a whole business in itself. That's just called aggregating.
Yeah.
Where I take someone else's information that they had somewhere and write it up for someone else and usually and don't put it behind a paywall.
And give them credit.
Give them credit.
Yeah.
And don't put it behind a paywall.
And it's my content, even though it's his or hers. So Cody Benjamin wrote this. And what did he do? He looked at each quarterback and picked their best attributes.
Okay.
I want yay or nay. Just okay. If any, I think he's pretty accurate. But I think it's interesting. And if something jumps out at you, yell. Joe Flacco, age 40. 18th season. Best attributes, experience, and arm strength. Joe can still fling it, as far as we all know.
Does experience mean brain?
You'd have to ask Cody.
I think so.
18 seasons, I'd say that's experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been in the NFL almost as long as Dylan Gabriel, almost as long as Shador's been alive. So that's experience, is it not?
Fair enough.
So those are two nice things. Kenny Pickett, best attributes. He's 27 years old.
Okay.
Mobility. Kenny can move a little bit. That's true.
All right.
And I like this one. I've never actually heard this before. You ready?
Okay.
Situational grit.
You know, put a little maple syrup on that situational grit. Tastes really good. Right after you open. And then when you put the package back together, you put the gum band around it.
He did say this. Just 3 years ago, Pickett tabbed to be the long-term successor for Ben, only to be saddled with iffy protection, iffy weapons, and an even iffier coaching from a short-lived offensive coordinator. And poor Matt Canada just keeps getting nailed. So there you go.
Mobility. I guess the buck doesn't ever stop with the head coach, does it?
And situational grit.
So if you fire an assistant coach while the head coach is still there, all the blame goes on the assistant. Every time, is that right?
Of course.
That's why you get rid of him.
Just making sure.
You know this. That's
Where's right. Ken Dorsey
been
now?
Around long enough.
Amen.
Dallas.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Where's Ken Dorsey?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see what he said Dallas. About Dylan Gabriel.
What he said about Dylan Gabriel, who's 24... Best attributes, vision.
Say height.
And short area accuracy.
He called him short?
Short area accuracy.
Oh, now I get it. Okay.
Legitimate questions about whether his ability to read the field or push the ball deep will translate to the pro stage, considering his physical limitations.
So he said short?
No, physical limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he drew rave reviews coming out of college for his crisp timing and touch on shorter range throws.
I hope that when he does get the opportunity to start, we don't ever even think twice about his height and we'll just let it go.
Crisp is one of my favorite words used to describe anything in sports. We ran a crisp practice.
So that would mean that Coco was your favorite baseball player?
I don't get it. I've never. Every time I hear crisp used to describe anything in sports, I chuckle. He also says about Gabriel, kind of fundamentally sound aerial work could appeal to Coach Kevin Stefanski.
I buy that.
Yeah, I do too.
I buy that.
See, that's where I think Dylan Gabriel has an edge. A, young. B, if he's Kevin's kind of guy, and you would think he is more than Shador because he was drafted two rounds earlier. Shador Sanders, best attributes at the age of 23. Composure.
Okay.
And downfield touch.
Well, he had plenty of opportunity to become an expert at that at Colorado, right?
Well, you would think. Composure, he's had to deal with being Deion's son and being in the spotlight for a long time.
Yeah.
And he looks composed on the football field.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's had to scramble so much in college that...
He says that Shador showed the NFL-level poise as a more of an old-school pocket passer.
Hmm.
So combine all four guys' best attributes, Andy, and you got a heck of a quarterback. I mean, you got a guy with experience and arm strength and mobility and situational grit and vision and short area accuracy and composure and downfield touch. Sign me up for one of those.
Oh, you got one of four shot.
So next, do we open up Cosmo and build the perfect boyfriend?
You're still reading Cosmo?
It just felt like that's what we just went through right there.
While you're getting your hair done?
Yeah. The sad thing is they do not allow you to remove certain aspects from human beings and build a Frankenstein monster that would solve it.
Difficult to
do. Frankenstein.
Good point. Yeah. Find me Igor.
Thank you for playing along.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm here.
We know we talk about this quarterback thing a lot. It's fascinating. Andy, I can't wait to see it play out in training camp. I mean, I don't want summer to fly by.
We are the most interesting training camp in the NFL.
Man, I can't wait for whatever that's worth. I don't think there's any question.
And all the games are on NFL Network for preseason. I don't think there's any question. They have more hype for the preseason than most teams have for the regular season. And because you know the Browns play at 1 o'clock on Sunday, you can bank on it all season long.
I would bet you.
And Jeff loves it.
You're dang right, I do. I know somebody else who does too.
All of their national exposure. Can you guys forget about your jobs for 2 seconds and realize that fans sometimes enjoy watching their team play on Sunday night?
You know why I like 1 o'clock?
Or Thursday night.
Warm dinner.
You know why
I like 1 o'clock games?
You're blessed to be able to work around a football game in the NFL, and you can't think about the fans.
I'm not kidding about the fans?
You also get
warm dinner.
You get up, you have breakfast, you watch some pregame stuff, you hop in the car.
Oh, you don't listen
you
to
drive,
the...
Stop. You drive to work listening to Andy Baskin and Tyvus Powell on the pregame show.
There you go.
You walk into the building, grab your lunch if you need it. Sit down, boom, watch football.
You saved yourself, man. I'm just telling you. What are we going to have to be on the air at, like, I don't know, 4 in the morning for the pregame show in London?
Good luck to you on that.
I'm feeling it.
Feels like we're going to have to ask the powers to be.
Why even go to bed the night before?
That used to be when people would be like, hey, let's go watch the sunrise. That was typically my solution.
Ladies and gentlemen.
When you have nothing else to do and sleep all day.
Cleveland Guardians scored 3 runs yesterday. You score 3 runs, you get a win. Why did that happen? Maybe because the Guardians have done it again.
What?
Maybe they've done it again. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.